Listen, today we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to open up the Word. I was thinking about all of us and thinking about this church, thinking about us being 5 years old. It got me to thinking about LifePoint. You know, we at LifePoint Riverdale, we're a part of something that's large. It's around the world, just like LifePoint Smyrna is part of something that's large and around the world. I'm not talking about numbers of people in a room. I'm talking about what's happening across the globe. Do you realize that you are a part of a ministry? You're a church that has five locations, three Middle Tennessee, two international. You're a part of something that is sending work across the county. You're a part of an association that sends work across the county. You're a part of a convention across the state where work is going on. You're a part of a much larger group of people that have over 40,000 mission, that 40,000 churches across the United States. There's like 4,000 missionaries around the world because of the work that you're a part of. That's incredible to think about. The Lord has planted this church here 5 years ago. And here on Warrior Drive, you are being a light. We're reaching into schools. We're beginning to have ministries that are growing in those schools. Listen, we have people today that have never been a part of a church, and they're coming. People are finding life. People are living sent. We don't just have a lot of people. We got people who are full of Christ. They love Jesus. They love the Lord. And you're taking them out. Those things have been happening over the last 5 years. And sometimes we get in the middle of what we're doing, and we are so in the grind of doing ministry that we forget about those things. You know, I also was thinking about things that have happened over the last 5 years just in our world. It's been crazy. Man, in our world, we've seen terrorist attacks. We've seen natural disasters like hurricanes and floods. We've seen tsunamis happen. We've seen drought and hunger across the world. Think about even today. I mean, we're in a very unique time, aren't we? We're seeing pandemics that are going on, that are happening. I think we would all admit that the last 5 or 6 years have been great for us as a community, but even in the world, it's been kind of unique and weird. I think we would also agree that 2020 is kind of set apart, isn't it? I mean, this is a year that's different than anything that we've ever experienced. Quarantines, mask, no mask, school, in person, out of person. I mean, not out of body, but not in presence. What do we do? I mean, it's been weird, you know? And on top of COVID chaos, all of those kinds of things, I think I can honestly say in my lifetime, I've never seen racial tension as high as it is today. And I want you to know that we're going to spend some time today talking about what that looks like. How we as a gospel community, church, speak into that. Now, when I said that, some of you got really tense. I know that. You got really tense. But here's what I want you to see. We, as people whose lives have been changed by the gospel, we have to take and step into this arena with the gospel. With the gospel. And here's what I've noticed around the world. Maybe you've seen this. Leaders, pastors, politicians, business leaders, individuals who go to work, we don't know what to do or what to say. Isn't that right? If you say one thing, you could be criticized. If you say another thing, you could be criticized. If you say nothing at all, you could be criticized. It's a weird, weird space that we find ourselves. But here's what I know. The scripture, the word of God, speaks kingdom bringers, and you're going to hear that word a lot today. As people who are bringing the kingdom, as kingdom bringers, we have to be prepared to speak into that. You know, there are our church over the last, I've been here 18 years, all right? Again, we've been in existence, Riverdale, 5 years, but I've been a part of LifePoint for over 18 years. I'm in my 19th year, and for all of those years that I've been here, Racial reconciliation, speaking into the nations, making sure that we are a people that reflect the kingdom of God has been something that has been important to our staff and our church. And we've been about this for a while. Have we been fast enough? I don't know. Have we gone far enough? No. But we've been about this. And here's a unique thing, all right? Here's a unique thing. So, our cultural moment that we stand in today, even within our church, there are some people who think, man, we've not gone far enough. They're so into this moment that we've not gone far enough, and you don't speak to it enough. There are some others in our church who are so into this cultural moment that they're thinking, oh no, here we go again. You got to speak. Are we talking about this again? Folks, I want you to hear. Just like you want me, you want your pastors, you want us to speak about evangelism, you want us to speak about abortion, you want us to speak about all of these cultural issues. This is one that we have to speak about today because we don't know what to do today in many instances. But the scripture helps us to begin to understand this. Let me tell you something that I'm giving you a little run up so that you can know what we're doing and how we're doing this. You know, we've left as the church often. We've left the topic of racism to sociologists, anthropologists, politicians, when in reality, the issue of racism is first and foremost, it's a gospel and biblical issue. First and foremost, it is a gospel and biblical issue. You know why? Because, and I want you to hear me really clearly, racism is sin. Does everybody understand that? Racism is sin. Racism at its essence is superiority. It's feeling like I am superior or someone is superior based on a particular race and identity. When we know that scripture speaks that God is no respecter of persons, don't we know that? He is no respecter of persons. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. So we've left this many times to anthropologists, sociologists, politicians, to the world to speak to, and we haven't spoken to it enough as a gospel community. You realize racism has been around a long time, haven't you? If you're taking notes, I want you to take a few things down because I want you to go back and look at some of these things. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was held captive in slavery for 400 years in Egypt? You remember the prophet Jonah or the evangelist Jonah? When God told Jonah to go to the Ninevites, do you remember what Jonah did? Jonah said, no, I want them to burn. I don't want, based on an ethnicity, based on another culture and people, he said, I don't want to go to them. And he ran the other direction. Boy, that ended up well for him, didn't it? And he was right. God saved them. He finally went and God saved them. Do you realize also that in Acts chapter 6, the Greek-speaking widows felt discriminated against by the Hebrew-speaking widows, which led to the forerunner of what we have as deacons? You'll hear more about those coming in the days to come. The Jewish people, they would call the Gentiles the uncircumcised. Listen, that not only sounds painful, but that was a racial slur of the day. It was a racial slur. Do you realize that there are Jewish historians who have actually written that the Gentiles were nothing more than kindling for the fires of hell? They were nothing more than for the fires of hell. The Jewish people, you've heard of the Samaritans. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The Samaritans were considered a mixed people, half-breeds, because they were Jews who had married with the Canaanites, and they were a mixed-raced people. And the Jewish people would say, don't walk through Samaria. In fact, you have to walk around it. If for some reason you had to go through it, when you got to the other side, you know what the law was? You stop, you take your sandals off, and you beat the dust of Samaria off so that you would not pollute the Holy Land. Folks, I tell you this because here's what I want you to know. Racism has existed all the way into the scripture, all the ways back. But you have to understand this, and I want to be really, really clear before we jump into what it means to be a kingdom bringer. You got to hear this. When Jesus Christ walked the earth and he laid his life down, it wasn't taken from him. He laid it down willingly on the cross. When he died in my place and in your place on the cross so that we might have a right relationship again with God through his sacrificial death, if we would submit our lives, come under him and his rule and authority, a right relationship. Do you know what the scripture says happened when he died on the cross? The scripture tells us that in the temple, there was a veil that torn from top to bottom. It separated the Holy of Holies from the holy spot, signifying that when that tore, that there was no more separation between God and man because of the sacrifice of Jesus. No more separation. Ephesians chapter 2, right? Ephesians chapter 2. When you look in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes and he says that because of the death of Christ, the wall of hostility between men, between the Jews and the Greeks, it was knocked down. There was literally a wall in the temple where the Gentile people could only go. They could only go so far, and then the Jews were able to go. You see, there was a separation because of race and ethnicity. And I truly believe Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about that wall of separation is gone now because of the death, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be kingdom bringers, we've got to recognize that. Now listen, even though we realize that, man, even in the scripture, there was racism, and it is still carrying on today. It's dizzying for us though, isn't it? It's dizzying. What do I do? How do I do this? How am I a kingdom bringer then? Listen, here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Education and money and politics, technology has not changed this situation. Do you know what will change this situation? This is not rocket science. This is a heart change by Jesus Christ. When we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if the cross of Christ has torn down the wall of hostility, if it has broken the veil away so that we can have access to God and that we can have peace man to man, then we need to walk in that. And we have to recognize that this isn't first and foremost a politico issue. This is a gospel issue that you and I have to get our hands around and begin walking in that. This is a monumental time for us as a church. And I want to be really clear, for us as a church, not just the large C church in Murfreesboro, but I'm talking about us as a 5-year-old church. We need to have our doors wide open to, if you don't look like me, we want you here. Somebody ought to be saying amen to that. As hard as this season is, just to be real honest with you about what do you say and how do you say it, and I'm thankful that the church is here in these days. You know why? Because we have the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to hold out. We have that. We have that. Not only do we need to speak that, our lives, the church, we are the church. Individuals, we have to live out that gospel. Not just speak it, but we have to live it out. I want you to hear this, and then we're going to jump in. We may not be able to change the entire world, but I want you to hear this. By how we live the gospel out, we can change the world around us. And if all of us begin to change the world around us, our world will begin to change. And if we're waiting for some government, some sociologist, some study, it is the gospel. A German Swiss theologian named Karl Barth said this, that a pastor should each week step into the pulpit to preach the gospel with the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in another one. Basically meaning this, is that the events of the day should be interpreted in light of what does the scripture has to say. The scripture comes to bear with that. The scripture comes to bear. So with that, Matthew chapter 6, and you need to put on your running shoes. get ready to type some things in, get ready to write some things down, because I want you to write and look. We're not going to be exhaustive today. I'm giving you an overview that we're going to flesh out in the days to come, the months to come, but I want you to kind of know. I want you to know clearly where we are and what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 9 and 10, the disciples ask Jesus, and they say to Jesus, Jesus, I want you to teach me how to pray. I want to learn to pray. And so Jesus says this, beginning of verse 9, he says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are two aspects right here that Jesus tells them to pray for in his kingdom. He says that your will would be done now as it's being done in heaven. The kingdom of God is very much right now and not yet. Right now and not yet. It's right now because those of us who have surrendered our lives to Christ, whether you're online in the family room or in the auditorium room, the kingdom of God lives and reigns in your life. And we have the opportunity to let that begin to live out within the spheres and the influences that we have. You see, so we begin to live that out. Now, the kingdom that we're all looking for, heaven, John got a picture of it. He got a glimpse of it. Look over in Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, say this. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Did you notice that every nation, every language, every tribe, all the peoples, that means they were all different kinds of people, all different colors of people. They were all calling out the same thing. Did you notice that? Salvation belongs to our God. You see, God gave John a vision of what the future kingdom was going to look like. And he says, if that's what it's going to look like there, then we need to begin working for that here and now. Pray. He said, pray that God's kingdom would come now on earth as it is in heaven. And if that's what it looks like in heaven, you need to check this out and make sure that you see this. Heaven is not monochromatic. It is a kaleidoscope. It's beautiful. It's black. It's white. It's brown. It's olive. It's yellow. It's red. It's purple, if there is purple. I don't know. It is all different colors. It is a beautiful community. And we, Lifeport Riverdale, we need to be striving towards that. That's what we strive towards. That's why Jesus' model prayer is so important, because we need to be working for the kingdom of God that is to come, looks like that on earth. And if we're going to be kingdom bringers, then the only thing that we can do is look at the one who brought the kingdom. Who was it that brought the kingdom of God? Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, because God sent him, he sought us out. He walked. He walked on this earth. He rightly lived out the word of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what the Father tells me. He laid his life down perfectly. He lived it. He laid it down. He sacrificed it. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. And you know what ended up happening? The Holy Spirit found, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, real quick, he found you and me. While we were away doing our own thing, living by our own rules, being the king of our own little measly kingdom, surrounding ourselves with people who like what we like, look like we look, I want to be the ruler of my own destiny. And he arrested me and he opened my eyes and he said, listen, I've come to save you, to change you. And so the very first thing is that if we're going to be kingdom bringers, you've got to be a gospel bringer. You have to be a gospel bringer, a bringer of the gospel to people, because our world does not resemble God's kingdom. We, the church, we have to take the gospel to the world. That's why we talk about living sent all the time, is that we want you to take the gospel of Christ to the world, because legislatures, sociology, education is not going to change a heart issue. Only Jesus Christ will change a heart issue. And we've been dealing with this ever since Genesis chapter 3. When the fall came, the entire world was broken and racism rushed in. Superiority rushed in. And we have to be taking the gospel to people who don't know him. Those of you who are in here right now who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're sitting there probably thinking, amen, amen, go. Well, here's my question. Have we thought about the implications of that in the realm of racism? Have we really thought about what that means for us and for our world? Because here's the thing that we know. Here's what we know for certain. If Jesus is the answer, if he's the answer, you got me? Do we agree that Jesus is the answer? If Jesus is the answer, then here's what that means. That divorce, murder, rape, homosexuality, abortion, child pornography, child abuse, child trafficking, adult trafficking, slavery that still exists in the world, and yes, racism, it's never going away. Some of you are going, downer. No, listen, they don't know Jesus, so you know what they're going to do? They're going to be lost, and they're going to abuse people. We who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have to step into those worlds and bring the gospel to that. That is our role. It is first and foremost a gospel issue. It is a heart issue. So if we're walking alongside people who don't know Jesus and we're offended by what it is that they're doing, we have to remember they're lost. They're going to act lost. They're not going to do what saved people do. You know what my real problem is when saved people act lost. They're not being gospel bringers at that moment. How does that fit with us in the realm of racism? Folks, we have no ground to stand on to think we are superior to anyone, because the cross, the foot of the ground, is level at the cross. Look at Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus said, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. The way that leads to destruction, wide gate. Those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. So if we want to find life, we got to know the gate is narrow, the way is hard. And he said, those who find it are few. Folks, when we come to Christ, you got to realize that not the whole world is coming to Christ. And then even in that, the way of life is hard. When we're stepping into the realm of racism to bring the gospel, we need to know this isn't going to be an easy task, but this is what we've been called to do. This is what we've been called to do. To bring kingdom bringers, to bring the gospel, every year, or I should say this, every 10 years, we take a census. 2020, it's time to take a census. If you've not taken the census yet, go ahead and take it, because I'm going to really look forward to seeing what the results are in 2021. But I can tell you this, the box for Christian will be the one that is checked the most in our area, specifically even in the United States, because people would claim to be Christian. But in our area specifically, that would be. You realize though that because you check the box of Christianity, that does not mean that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, that's cultural Christianity. When we started this church 5 years ago, this specific church 5 years ago, our senior pastor, Pat Hood, stood on the square at Murfreesboro, and he made a video about the vision of why we were coming to Murfreesboro. Why would we do that? Why would we do that? And he stated in there that 85% of the people in Murfreesboro do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We actually had major pushback from people. We had major pushback from leaders of churches who said, wait a minute, the surveys tell us that 70% of the people in Murfreesboro know Jesus Christ. Listen, after conversation and discussion, we began to realize, you're using census data. Listen, it is easy to check the box of Christian. It is tough to live out. And because you check a box that says follower of Jesus or Christian does not mean that you are a follower of Jesus. If we're going to be kingdom bringers, if we're going to take the gospel, then we have to know Jesus Christ and follow what it is that he says, his way. Because if not, you're going to be swayed by all the whims of sociology, education, politics. What does the scripture say? Number two, to be kingdom bringers, number two, is we need to remember that we are image bearers. That we are image bearers. We bear the image of God. It only takes 27 verses to realize the importance of the human in God's creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Look at verse 27, though. Genesis 1, 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." Notice what he says. "Male and female, he created them." Listen, every person that has ever been born, that has ever been created, bears the image of God. Because God, it says that when God created man, he put his image, we bear the image of God. And because we bear the image of God, that means that every human being deserves dignity and respect. Every human being. Now, I want you to hear this. Not every image bearer is a follower of Jesus Christ. We don't believe that every image bearer goes to heaven. Only God's children go to heaven. Those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. And we would even say that, listen, there are image bearers who do things that we don't agree with. They live in sin. They act, they talk in such ways. Their lives do not reflect Jesus Christ. But even in that, they deserve dignity and respect. You see, listen, when we begin to realize that God has called us to take the gospel to his image bearers, no matter where they live, no matter what they look like, we as followers of Christ, things should change for us. The way we see people, the way we understand, the way we begin to value people. Listen, the way we treat people matters. And if you're treating people, if any of us treat people differently because of the color of their skin, I want you to know there is an issue with our heart and with our belief and our understandings. Because the scripture says that every person created is an image bearer. Number three, if we're going to be a kingdom bringer, we have to be justice keepers. If we're going to be kingdom bringers, we have to be justice keepers. I want to make sure if you've drifted off in the family room, online, or in here, I want you with me on this because I need you to be careful. There are so many competing voices out there talking about this is what justice is. This is what justice is. This is what justice is. And I want you to hear me. As a follower of Jesus Christ, who the gospel has come to us and has changed our lives, who we say by scripture, all men are image bearers, meaning therefore that all people deserve to be treated justly, just to be biblical justice. By the Bible says this, is that God treated us in a matter that was just, you and me. He didn't give us what we deserved, right? I mean, he treated us justly. Therefore, the way that we relate to God, the way that he related to us, now we then relate that same way to other image bearers so that we are taking the gospel to them justly. The scripture, as followers of Jesus, we have a comprehensive understanding of justice. Now, you may not put it all under these categories, but do you know the scripture tells us how we treat the widow and the orphan? Justly. How we do that. It tells us how we treat old people and young people. It tells us how we handle the sojourner and the foreigner, the naturalized person, the immigrant person. It tells us how to do that. And if we, as followers of Christ, listen, if there's no moral absolutes, some of you are ready to go to sleep. Hang with me. If there are no moral absolutes, if there is no moral authority in our lives, then you know what's going to end up happening for us who are followers of Jesus? We're going to be driven and tossed about like a wave on the sea. Whatever comes along, whatever sounds good on the news, whatever is posted on Facebook or Instagram, whoever the latest influencer is, and they say this is what justice is or this is what justice is, if we don't know what Jesus Christ, listen, you realize that when you came to Christ, we are submitting ourselves to his word. We come under his word. And what his word says is how we treat people. Now, this is why we need to know his word. Because we're taking the gospel to people who are image bearers. We want to walk with them justly. Therefore, we have to know his word. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I would encourage you to start reading there. It is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It is the longest message that he gave. It is like, it's three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, and it's all red, in red. I mean, it's his words. So we want to know what he says and how to live. What does it look like to live in the kingdom? So we have to be justice keepers. Number four, just so you're counting, I have five and I'm going to be quick. Number four is this. Well, before I do that, Leviticus 24, 22. Leviticus 24, 22 says this. You shall have the same rule for the sojourner and for the native, for I am the Lord your God. Who gets the law? The sojourner and the native. It's the same law. Proverbs 21, 15 and 21 says this. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life. They'll find righteousness and honor. Listen, our supreme authority is the word, and we treat people as the word would have us. Number four, to be kingdom bringers, we have to continue, I want you to hear me, we have to continue to fight for multicolored churches. We have to continue to fight from multicolored churches. This is a big one for me. You know, if God's kingdom is now and not yet, if Revelation 5 and 7 tell us that around the throne, all tribes, all nations, all language, all ethnicities, all races are going to be there. Folks, that means, and we're to bring his kingdom now, our body needs to look that way. Our body needs to look that way. Because it's a beautiful expression. It is a way that we fight racism in our community. When people begin to see in a body, that a gospel body that loves Jesus Christ, that all nations are welcome, whether they're black, they're white, they're brown, they're red, they're yellow. They come together. They love one another. They treat each other fairly. Passive or non-passive racism is not tolerated. That is a witness to a lost and broken world. And we must be about fighting for that. Martin Luther King Jr. said that Sunday morning at 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour of the week in America. Folks, listen. Churches that are divided up on cultural preferences and color, they're a result of the fall. And I'm going to put forth the best expression of the kingdom is when we gather together, all races, all nations, all colors. Listen, we may have to divide up because of some languages. We can't all speak the same language. In this room right now, we're all speaking the same language, and we know people who look differently than us that need to be involved in this body. And I'm calling us to that vision and that picture. If that's what the throne room of God looks like, then we need to bring that here today. Do you realize, for some of you, you are the first generation followers of Jesus in your house. You're the first generation follower of Jesus in your house. And did you realize that for some of you right now, you have more in common because you're a first generation follower of Jesus. You got more in common with a black African in Nigeria who follows Jesus than you do with your family who doesn't know Jesus at all. Because when we come to Jesus Christ, we're a new family. We're a new creation. We are new people, the scripture says. Ain't nobody getting excited about this. Listen, so it doesn't matter if it's downtown Detroit, downtown Nashville, or downtown Murfreesboro. When a brother or a sister is hurting, we are the ones who come along because we're a part of a new family now. Folks, if we're going to be kingdom bringers, we've got to open up. Listen, we would all agree that the table of God is open to all nationalities, all colors, all. Let me ask you this. Is your table at home open to all nationalities, all colors, all ethnicities? Let me ask you this. You might say, yes, it is. Who is coming to that table? Because you know how people are going to come here? By the relationship that you have with them, that I have with them. And if they're not sitting at our table and we don't have relationships with them, you see, bringing the gospel to someone is an up-close sport. It's an up-close sport. It's life on life. And so, guys, we've got to be walking with people who don't look like us. Does that mean that we don't walk with people who look like us? No. But we've got to open that circle up. We got to open it up. Number five. And we close out. As if we're going to be kingdom bringers, we got to have kingdom conversations. For the last 3-4 weeks, I've had this point some way, somewhere in something I've talked about. If we're going to be kingdom bringers, we've got to have kingdom conversation. If we're opening our tables up to be gospel bringers, because they're image bearers so that we can justly let them know that God loves them and this is his plan for their lives. They've sat down at our table. Do you know what kingdom conversation looks like? It looks like face-to-face. It looks face-to-face. Now, you may be going, hey, we're in the season of COVID. You can face-to-face 6 feet apart, okay? It's face-to-face. It's not Facebook to Facebook. And folks, I'm going to call you again. If you're a Facebook warrior, stop. Stop fighting on Facebook. It is not doing any, it's not doing the kingdom of God. We think that I can post something and I've spoken to an issue. Listen, if you want to speak to an issue, get close, face to face. Because remember, we may not change the entire world, but we can change our world, okay? We begin to walk into that. Now, I know I'm not calling you not to post. I am going to call you, though. Post something gospel-centered, something that uplifts Jesus, something that says, man, this is a gospel issue. Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be driven and tossed about by a philosophy, sociological construct, and I want you to know that there is some Fauch out there. Fauch means false stuff. That's in Texas language. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his word, is true and right. And as a believer, this is what we stand on. And this is a gospel issue that we have to walk in. We can't run and hide from it. I'm not asking you to go out and be a warrior. I'm asking you, do you know your neighbor? How about your coworker? Have you gone to lunch with them and said, hey, let's go to lunch? Let me ask you something. Do you know someone of another race? Here's what I want to hear. Oh, yeah, I got a Mexican friend. No, I mean, does your Mexican friend come to your house? I got a black friend. I got a white friend. No, I mean, are you walking with people and bringing the gospel to bear in those relationships? Listen, we have to fight racism. And you know where it starts first? With me. And if you say that, I'm not calling you a racist, but all of us have, we deal with the sin of racism. All of us deal with it. And we got to drag it to the cross and ask for forgiveness. We've got to fight racism in our home. We got to fight it in our workplace. We got to bring it here. We got to bring people in. We got to bring them in. 1987, I was a freshman in college. I just dated myself for many of you. You've tuned me out. I was a freshman in college. I remember watching President Reagan, I think it was. It was President Reagan. He was standing in Germany at the Brandenburg Gate on a dais stage. And he was speaking directly into the camera, and he was talking to Mikhail Gorbachev. He was standing at the Berlin Wall, the Brandenburg Gate, and he was standing there, and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, if you want peace, you want prosperity, you want success for your country, you need to come to this gate and open it up. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Many of you remember that. I still get chill bumps when I hear that, not because of Reagan, but because that was a call to action. 2 years later, didn't happen immediately, 2 years later, Mikhail Gorbachev gave the order to his soldiers who were at Checkpoint Charlie on the wall and at the Brandenburg Gate. He said, lay your weapons down and let the people go. And they began. I watched it. I remember watching it on TV, people making sledgehammers, knocking at the wall, getting on top, dancing. I remember somebody on the eastern side, eastern Germany, they knocked a hole in the wall, and I remember their head came through, and people went crazy. The wall came down. Folks, I want you to hear this. That was an exciting historical, cultural moment. But I want you to hear this. There was a moment that's even more defining in the history of man and in eternity. And it is when Jesus Christ hung on a cross. And by his death, his substitutionary death on my behalf, his death broke down the dividing wall that stood between me and God in a right relationship and me and you in a lifestyle of reconciliation. And I want you to hear me. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, it's going to be tough for you to do any of these things because it's all based on the gospel and the fact that you know Jesus. And if you're in the family room, you're in this room, you're online, I want to invite you to respond to that. I want to meet with you. I want to talk with you. CJ and Kurt in the family room, if you're online, would you please text Jesus, text the word Jesus to the number on the screen. Someone will be in touch with you today. Because we want to talk with you about how to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, you paid a high price so that I could have, so that we could have, those of us who have surrendered our lives to you, so that we could have a right relationship with God the Father. And because of your sacrificial death, I now have the opportunity to have a relationship, correct relationship, bring the gospel to people who don't look like me. And Father, I'm so thankful that you didn't make people to look exactly like me. God, if there's any vestiges of any hidden racism in my own life, would you pull it apart, bring it to light so that I can confess it to you? Jesus, may this church be a people who love you, who walk with you, who know your word, so that we're not driven, tossed about like a wave on the sea, so that we can bring your gospel to people who need you, your image bearers. Jesus, we magnify you today. We've sought to lift you high. And now, Holy Spirit, will you point the people in this room, the family room, and online to Jesus so that they could be saved? I would ask right now, wherever you're listening, wherever it is, would you ask the Holy Spirit? This is a prayer he will answer if you'll ask it, to reveal any hidden racism. Jesus, help us to deal rightly because you've dealt rightly with us, justly with us. We love you. We honor you. And it's in your name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.